Hello, this is Tasty Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. I think this show needs an explanation. I can't just lay it down and say, well, enjoy this one. We're going to finish the show in Parksville. It's called Swirl for the wine segments and Untapped for the beer, spirits, cider people. And they're in two separate places, Beach Club Resort and Tynemera. And it's fantastic. It's really fun. All of our guests will be on the Tasty Room Radio website, and you'll also find the links to them as well. But to start off, it's BC Wine Month, and Reese Pender, Master of Wine, is leading the charge. He has decided to sing or talk about BC wines for the month of April. And I went to him and said, I love this. This is a video, by the way. About this time of year, normally Reese Pender would be totally deep into the Wine Plus education empire that he has created. Or he'd be at Little Farm, a winery. But I found him via Instagram, Reese Pender, MW, at IGTV, and it's on Instagram. And the speaking platform that he's talking about is called Drink Local. He's going to talk about Foch, Haywire Bubble, Figaro, Little Farm Riesling, Niche Pinot Noir, the price of BC wines, Chardonnay from Tantalus. He sings and plays ukulele. Talks about the regions, the sub-GIs, Fort Barons in particular, and all of the benches, and is fascinating. If you like the audio, go and check out the video. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by our friends in the Similkameen Valley, Orofino Vineyards, and Row 14 at Clippers Organic Acres. Just a word from Row 14. Kevin sent a note saying, we were open last weekend, but have now decided to close until the pandemic is over. The best way to communicate is through social media, email, or phone calls. We decided not to do takeout, as that's really not our style. And chef and partner Derek Gray said, now more than ever, we see how valuable, integral, and fragile our food system really is. We at Row 14 ask that you support your local farmer, grower, husbandry in times of need. Please remember to be kind to others, wash your hands, partake in laughter, and be safe. Derek Gray. And from John and Virginia Weber at Orofino. Our wine club events that we're planning for April and May have now been canceled or postponed, but we're going to go ahead with our regular wine club shipments. We're hoping that this is all temporary, but are making plans for it to last through the season. We want to encourage people to stay safe, be smart, and support local when possible. Buy from small family-owned producers and retailers who need help in these strange days. Take a moment to check out the brand new Orofino website, orofinovineyards.com. One more thing, the suites are still open for business. I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio. The lineup you can find at mulliganstew.ca. Tasting Room Radio is part of that conglomerate. There's also the podcast as well. And this has legs as a possible podcast, Reese Pender. Before I get to your special feature, which is right around the corner, including the music part as well, it's BC Wine Month, yes?
Yes. So, yeah, April is BC Wine Month. Yeah.
I discovered you, I think, literally show one. You were on Instagram and IGTV. Where did the idea come from, talking about wine for a couple of minutes each day, live in your kitchen?
So it was an interesting, you know, where a lot of us were sitting at home, maybe a little bit too much time on our hands. And so thinking, you know, about some of these things in the industry. And then I thought, you know, and I often drink international wine. You know, I run my Wine Plus WSET wine school, so I'm buying international wine for that and tasting it. But, you know, I was just thinking, you know, what can we each do? What little thing can we each do during this month to help everyone, you know, get through it to the other side? And so I thought, well, if I have any influence at all, maybe I could start a little thing where it's basically that I'm only going to drink BC wine for a month, go out and buy a bunch of 100% BC wine, you know, voting with the dollars. And the goal being that if more people followed along and did the same, all that money just stays in our community, right? So if we keep that money in the local wineries, then we can spend that on other local products, helping out restaurants, you know, with the food sales and things like that, and then using that money once we get back, keeping it in the community. So that was kind of the goal. And then how to get a little bit of attention around it was, you know, let's focus on some of these issues that face BC wine. So I thought it was a good opportunity to basically have a little rant and have a little audience and just be able to talk about some of these topics and issues surrounding BCY and what we do well, maybe what we don't do so well. Maybe it's time for everyone to kind of think about where we're going and what are our best lines and to go ahead like that. So it's kind of a double-edged thing, I guess, supporting local, but also starting a dialogue to talk to the industry about, you know, where we are and where we could go.
Rhys Pender, Master of Wine. Okay, here's the deal. Wine Plus, can you still educate on Zoom or something? Are you doing classes?
I've looked into doing the online education and had it kind of set up to run, but it wasn't very popular when I put it out to the classes that were running or about to run.
And Little Farm is doing well?
Yeah, Little Farm, we just updated the website. So that was one of, you know, having a bit of extra time. I've been wanting to do that for about 2 or 3 years. So just got a nice shiny new website up and running, littlefarmwinery.ca.
Now, the other thing is, I've known you many years. I have never heard you sing or play the ukulele. Was that just desperation? What was going on?
Yeah, well, I got a ukulele for my birthday in February and played the guitar just a little bit, not very well, self-taught. But just playing around with it and having some fun. My mum's actually in a bunch of big ukulele bands in Australia.
Wow.
So I guess it runs in the family now. I don't know.
And you've done the first 14 and onward to the end of the month. Do you know what you're going to be talking about? Anything you want to promo?
I've got a few subjects coming up. But, you know, if anyone has any ideas that they want to hear about or bring up for a discussion, dialogue, they can, you know, comment on one of the videos on the IGTV. So it's under, Rhys Pender, MW. And so nothing too specific, just, you know, look at some of the different grape varieties that we do well and a few of the other good and not so good things that I see in the business here. But yeah, happy to take on any ideas and see if they fit in.
Two things. What time of day do you have people watch?
Not very planned. So it kind of happens when it happens, usually in the evening. It'll go up sometime around 8, 9, 10 o'clock. Sometimes a bit earlier if the inspiration strikes, I guess.
Okay, I have two requests for your ukulele band. The first one is Red Red Wine, a la UB40 maybe, or like a Neil Diamond would have done it. And you have to do Stairway to Heaven on the last show.
Okay.
You don't have to do the whole thing.
I'll see what I can do.
Just a little bit, okay?
Hopefully they're easy enough chords. That's the clincher.
Okay, to review, Wine Plus Education, Little Farm, is it Drink Local at IGTV on Instagram?
Yeah, Drink Local is the kind of the series name that I've kind of stuck with. So, yeah, you know, and we're in BC, so we're encouraging to drink local here. But, wherever you are, I'd say basically
drink
your
local
wine. Keep your money in your local community at times like this. And, you know, your community will benefit. And then, after that, we can go back to being a bit more global. But, it's just wherever you are, not just here.
Okay, let's go fishing.
That sounds great. We need it. Spring is here. So,
Rhys Pender, Master of Wine, great friend of the show and to BC Wine, as you can tell. It's serious, and he does get into some heavy stuff, but wait for the ukulele moment. What I've done is I've taken all of the audio that he's provided, because it's a video show, and I've edited it together, and here we go.
This is Tasting Room Radio.
I am, you know, everyone's going through some really tough times right now, so you start thinking about what can I do to help. So I love international wine. I drink it all the time. So I am going to only drink international wine for the month of April. Actually, that's my bad April Fool's joke. Anyway, sorry. No, what I'm going to do is only drink 100% BC wine for the month of April. We need to do this. We need to help keep the money in BC. The wineries need help. The restaurants are closing. A lot of the retailers are closing. Tasting rooms are closed. It's very tough times. If we can support our local wine industry, buy local, that money will go back into our local community. And so I'm going to start by myself drinking only 100% BC wine for April. You can join me and do that too if you like. I know there's so many great wines out there from the rest of the world, but you know what? We've got great wines here too now. So I say, let's explore. Let's do it. I'm going to post some reviews, get a discussion going on what wines are best and what's most successful, and we'll go from there. So join me.
Hope hope everyone's enjoying their BC wine so far. April 2nd, BC wine for April. It's also officially BC wine month. I forgot to mention that yesterday, so cheers to that. I started things off with a sparkling wine because that's what you should do, right? And sparkling wine, this is Township 7's Polaris 7 Stars 2017. It's all Chardonnay, which I love in bubble. I think it's been 18 months on the lees or something. It's pretty absolutely delicious. It's almost gone already. But sparkling wine in BC, this is a definite win, I think. It's something we do really well. This wine's $37 a bottle, I believe. You can't buy champagne for, you know, you almost have to spend twice that to get a bottle of champagne here. This is right up there in terms of quality. Really toasty, bready, brioche, crisp acidity, super fresh. This is something we can do well here. So we can love our BC traditional method bubble and, you know, enjoy it every day. So cheers to drinking more BC wine, and we'll see you soon.
This is Tasting Room Radio.
Okay, today, back on the BC wine train, and actually, this is another problem. My rosé bottle is empty. My glass is empty. Cracked open the Narrative Rosé. Pretty amazing. We drank it last night with some paella. And this is proper rosé. BC's starting to make some seriously good rosé now. It, dry, fresh, crisp. That's what we do. We have this great cool climate in the evening that keeps the acidity. We get the ripeness during the hot days, and you know, we can do this really well. We've got to stop doing sweet rosés, or if you are, put it clearly on the label. Don't try and be everything to everyone. You know, halfway between dry and sweet just pleases no one, just pisses off everyone. So dry or sweet, choose. This is a really good dry rosé from the Okanagan Crush Pad people, Narrative. It just disappeared very quickly. There's a hole in the rosé.
What's up next?
Oh, next BC wine for the night.
Figaro, Figaro, Figaro!
Actually, that was probably terrible. What we need here is Tim Pawsey, or actually even better, Heather Pawsey, Tim's wife. She has the voice for this, but Terra Vista Figaro going to be an amazing wine.
There's a hole in my rosé, it's true. My bottle. It's empty.
Hi everyone, April 4th of BC Wine for April month. So far, having a great time. Maybe a little bit too good a time last night. Cracked a few good bottles of BC wine. Played some ukulele. You never know, the night's young, it might happen again. Today, I want to talk about something that I'm really passionate about for BC wine, and that's ageability. I don't think we talk about how well our wines age enough. Hi everyone, April 5th of BC Wine for April, BC Wine Month. So I hope everyone's having a surviving, enjoying tons of good food and wine. It's a great time to do lots of cooking. This little post is something I never thought I would really do. It's actually about Foch, so Maréchal Foch. Not usually my favorite grape, but you know, it must be said. I love some of the flavors in there, these meaty, gamey, earthy, leathery notes. You know, I love those in many wines from around the world, so why wouldn't I hear? But often with Foch, you get this kind of weird soapy texture that's not ideal, you know. So I got this Old Vines Reserve Foch from Sperling the other day, cracked it open, open mind always, got to try everything, and this wine was delicious. It kind of had all those Foch things you expect, the good meaty, earthy, gamey, leathery flavors, but none of that soapiness, none of that kind of weird texture or things that make you kind of, you know, back off. It was fresh and juicy and vibrant and light, 12.9% alcohol, tons of good flavor. And so I've loved this month so far, trying tons of different BC wines, seeing all the different styles we make and having a lot of fun, eating well, drinking well, and hope you guys are all drinking tons of BC wine too and staying safe, and cheers.
My glass ain't full. Yes, a Magnum would have been better.
Hey everyone, BC Wine Month, BC Wine for April, day 6, April 6th. And I hope everyone's having some great wine. Tonight I'm going to talk a little bit about food and wine pairing. I've had so much time to cook some really awesome food so far this month. I guess one of the benefits of being isolated. Tonight there's some good taco action going on, so I don't know if you can see any of that. Got some nice carnitas pork, there's some little tortillas wrapped up in here, guac, bunch of other good stuff here. So I'm thinking what wine to pair with this. So I've gone for two wines, a white and a red. It's always more fun to have, you know, options that are very different. So I got one of my own wines from Little Farm Winery, 2016 Riesling. It's drinking so well right now. Super dry, but this wine can actually really handle the spice. It's sort of, you'd think high acid whites like that are gonna react with a little bit of the spiciness in the meat, but this wine, it works okay. Maybe the longer aging on the lees, all that stuff kind of makes it work. So I'm gonna try that. And then I'm going for something on the other side, completely other spectrum, is red wine, but we're going with the Niche Pinot Noir, Niche Wine Co. Pinot Noir 2018. This is a super light little juicy number. It's only 12% alcohol, so should be fresh, not too much to react with spice as well. So I think one of the great things with BC wine is it's ability to pair well with food. You got this great, that great natural acidity we always talk about from the cool nights. It helps cut through freshness, you know, richness, sorry, of things like guacamole. It goes with the acidity and things like tomatoes. It can cut through fatty pork. It's, you know, perfect in that sense. So we get that naturally, and then we get tons of flavor, so our wines can stand up to bold flavors as well in the dish. They don't get overpowered easily. So it's a lot of fun pairing wine and food, and a BC wine has so many options there. So what I want you to do is give me your greatest food and wine pairings with BC wine that you've had. And and one other thing I wanted to say is, it doesn't matter where you are. This is, I'm talking about drinking local BC wine because that's where I'm living right now. But wherever you are in the world, like, I hope everyone's helping their local community, both in food and wine, and supporting it as much as local, much as they can, keeping the money in their community. That's key at times like this. We'll get through all this, and then we'll be out to, you know, have, we are so lucky to be able to have the world of wine at our doorstep. But you know, right now, everyone, keep it local, whether you're in my home country of Australia, here in Canada, or in Europe, wherever you are, just, you know, enjoy your local wines and let me know your great pairings, and we'll see you soon.
There's a hole in my rosé, in my rosé, in my rosé. There's a hole in my rosé, it's true.
Hi, everyone. Happy April 7th, BC Wine Month. What I want to talk about today is I think it's a little bit of a controversial topic. It's about the price of BC wine. A lot of people, you know, I hear it all the time that BC wine is expensive, and it bothers me all the time because BC wine is not expensive. It actually offers great value for the quality of wine that you get. What we're missing in this discussion is, in BC, we don't actually make cheap wine. Cheap wine is made in countries that have these very, very hot climate areas that can have, you know, 20 ton per acre yields. They can make masses of wine, and it's never good. It's never good quality wine. But they get a lot of it, and it can be cheap. We don't have those climates. We don't try to make those wines. What we have here is a very interesting climate on the edge of viticulture, where we can get tons of flavor, intensity, some good complexity, make some really interesting wines. They're not gonna be cheap, but they're also not expensive. We don't have the reputation to be, you know, for all the wines to be $50, $100 a bottle. So we're actually in a really good spot here where we, you know, in that $20 to $50 range, if you spend that on a bottle of wine here in BC, you're going to get great value for what you get in other parts of the world. And I, you know, I challenge you to try that out so we can do it. So pretty much all the wines that I've bought so far this week are in that sort of $20 to $25 range, and everything is delivered really well. So we've got the Kalmana R&D Rosé Blend from 2018, Golden Mile Bench Sub-Appellation, delicious, dry, crisp, juicy rosé. And then the Joie Gamay 2017 is what they had. So drinking beautifully, fresh berry, little cinnamon. If you love Beaujolais, you're going to love that. Both in that sort of, you know, $20, $25 range. And you know what? You just have to get that into your head. BC does not make cheap wine, cheap bulk wine, but we make good wine, and it's good value at those price points. And so if you need to be buying wine out of a box, you know, go and buy that.
if you want something that tastes good, you know, we offer some really good value here, and I'm pretty happy with what I've found so far. So cheers to BC Wine Month, and we'll talk soon. Hi everyone, April 9th of BC Wine Month, BC Wine for April. Happy long weekend, everyone. So tonight, I wanted to talk about Chardonnay. Chardonnay is, I think, one of our greatest grapes here in BC, and it's such a misunderstood grape. Everyone thinks of Chardonnay, they think of buttery and fat and oaky and tropical and ripe flavors. And yes, you do find that occasionally, definitely like California, sometimes even occasionally in BC, but more and more producers are going to this kind of lighter, fresher, crisper style. What are they doing? They're making the wine to the strengths of where we are here, right? Good acidity, good freshness, just a little bit of old oak maybe to kind of give some flavor and complexity, but all about zingy freshness. And so we have the Tantalus 2018, the Bear Chardonnay here, 12.8% alcohol, super crisp, fresh, just lovely. I think it's going to go well with our, we're going to do a broccoli pesto tonight. Made some little bow tie pastas. Matt Landry, this makes me think of an outfit you'd be wearing in one of your videos. So many great videos right now. I hope everyone's watching Matt Landry at the Stable House, and Emily Walker, Hints of Hawthorne, her amazing singing has been so good. And yeah, it's great to see everyone just kind of having fun with this stuff. But yeah, Chardonnay, don't overlook it. Don't think it's, you know, what you thought it was 20 years ago. It has changed. People have changed. Lighter, fresher, vibrant, and you know, that's what we can do. We work so well here in BC, and it's definitely one of our best grapes, and I'm looking forward to this pairing tonight. So cheers, everyone. Happy Easter weekend. My bottle, it's empty. My glass ain't full. Hi, everyone. Happy April 11th, I think it is. I don't know anymore. BC Wine Month, BC Wine for April, still going strong. Beautiful day today. Not much of a rant, but I thought I'd just make up another terrible ukulele song. So here it is. Stranded in isolation. So over this fancy flute. Cooking and drinking, what else is there to do? Cooking and drinking, cooking and drinking, drinking and cooking. I hope the government subsidies come in soon, or I will go without shoes, drinking and cooking. Bye. Hi, everyone. April 11th of BC Wine Month, BC Wine for April. Hope everyone's doing well. Drinking your local wine, supporting your local community. So, but what I want to do is get an update and see how is that going. You know, what have you learned in this this month so far by digging deep into your own local wine area? Have you discovered any new grape varieties, new styles, new regions? Regions, especially, is something that's pretty exciting here in BC. So, in the last couple of years, we've been working hard to create new GIs, new sub GIs, and sort of expand this area of the province. It used to just go under the British Columbia, label under VQA Wine. So you know, wineries like Fort Barron's in Lillooet, they've really pioneered this new area. This is a region that's like 51 plus degrees latitude. This is like completely extreme. Like, how exciting is that for wine? This is, you know, every wine map cuts off at like 50 degrees. We're at like 51 and making some solid wine there, and it's really tasty stuff. Super hot in the summer, super cold in the winter. There's really nowhere else like these places on earth. It's amazing. It's exciting. Have you tried these wines? Have you, you know, looked into it? This month should all be about that. Wherever you are in the world, looking at your local region, what's interesting, what's exciting,
exploring, finding something new, finding something interesting. Go and try it. So let me know, have you tried the, you know, Lillooets or the Kootenays or the Shuswap or the Thompson Valley, the new GIs in BC or the new sub GIs, you know, Gold Mile Bench, Naramata Bench, Skaha Bench, Cowichan Valley's coming soon. There's another one I'm forgetting, but whatever, you can figure it out. Explore them all, find out what's going on. This is what BC Wine Month or Local Drinking Wine Month should be about, is exploring and delving into learning more, getting rid of stereotypes, finding new exciting things about wherever you are and whatever you're drinking. So cheers, everyone. Happy Easter, and we'll talk soon.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by our friends in the Similkameen Valley, Orofino Vineyards, and Row 14 at Clippers Organic Acres. Just a word from Row 14. Kevin sent a note saying, we were open last weekend, but have now decided to close until the pandemic is over. The best way to communicate is through social media, email, or phone calls. We decided not to do takeout, as that's really not our style. And chef and partner Derek Gray said, now more than ever, we see how valuable, integral, and fragile our food system really is. We at Row 14 ask that you support your local farmer, grower, husbandry in times of need. Please remember to be kind to others, wash your hands, partake in laughter, and be safe. Derek Gray. And from John and Virginia Weber at Orofino, our wine club events that we're planning for April and May have now been canceled or postponed, but we're going to go ahead with our regular wine club shipments. We're hoping that this is all temporary, but are making plans for it to last through the season. We want to encourage people to stay safe, be smart, and support local when possible. Buy from small family-owned producers and retailers who need help in these strange days. Take a moment to check out the brand new Orofino website, orofinovineyards.com. One more thing, the suites are still open for business. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Road 13 on the Golden Mile. At Road 13, they are temporarily suspending tastings in the lounge and the castle and winery tours. And to Club 13 members and guests, Road 13 is accommodating your requests for purchase with minimal interruption. You can pick up your wines at the winery and load it into your vehicle by the staff, or they can arrange complimentary shipping by courier directly to your home or location of your preference. The goal at Road 13 is to make it as seamless as possible. You can find all the information you need and updates at road13vineyards.com. I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is the annual gathering in Parksville called Untapped. The Untapped people have always been a tad more interesting to me, the people who actually make the product show up. And the first time I ever interviewed all of these people together in one room, it was the morning after. I couldn't get over from Vancouver in time. The next morning, they're having breakfast. They're all incredibly hungover. We held each other's hand and we did okay. I'm going to start my Untapped coverage at the Beach Club in Parksville by coming into the ballroom. They're setting up now, so that's why there's a lot of noise. And I finally found Terrence Fitzgerald. I've been talking to him and writing to him. He represents Lumet Distilled Non-Alcoholic Spirits. He's also, of course, sharing them as well. Nice to meet you.
How you doing, Terry?
Nifty t-shirt.
Thank you. Yes, Lamed. I'm pouring Lamed tonight, but right next to us is Sheringham, and so we have sister companies side by side. Lamed only has been around since November. The product only hit the shelves, I think, end of November in Victoria. We're now province-wide. We just shipped our first pallet to Manitoba, our first pallet to Alberta, and we just signed a deal this week for Quebec distribution as well, and we're talking to Germany, France, and a couple other countries.
You think you might be onto something?
This non-alc movement is huge. Millennials are just not drinking as much as their parents. BBC said 32% less than their parents, 60% less than their grandparents. So, which is huge, and I think part of that is everyone wants to, you know, have a cleaner, healthier lifestyle. And but what I should say is, are they drinking less? Yes, but they're being more discernible in what they're drinking.
Okay.
So they're looking for craft. They're looking for things that are more sustainable. They're looking for things that are not what their parents and grandparents drank. And so, you know, instead of drinking a 26er of Beef Eaters over a week, they might have four cocktails, three cocktails, but with a more expensive, more finely balanced.
Sheringham.
Yeah.
How big is the role that they're on?
Oh my God. So when I first joined a few years ago, they were at the old location in Shirley. Two tiny little stills. And early last year we decided we need a new location. We were going to invest pretty heavily in all new equipment, hoping that at that point we'd be distilling 2-3 days a week. Now we're up to 5+. The World Gin Awards, the world's best contemporary gin for Seaside, that was huge. Our sales literally doubled overnight.
Number one
in the world, yeah. Still odd to me, but fantastic. And then the Kazuki Gin, just 2 weeks ago, won Canada's Best Artisanal Spirit from the Cask Awards. So we have one world's best, two Canadian best, because Aquavit won that same award at Cask 2 years ago. And so it's we're sort of the little distillery that could.
And the deal is everybody has to have a hook, a handle, a statement, have a voice.
Sure.
Sharingham, in terms of Seaside, is the kelp.
Yeah, for the Seaside and the Aquavit, it is the kelp, for sure. And the interesting thing was, after we won that big award at WGA, I went to them, to two of the judges, and I said, what was it that put us over the top? And they said it was that flavor pop, the bounciness of the botanicals on our tongue. And since they read kelp on the back, they instantly got it. It was adding a little bit of brininess, really enhancing the flavor on their tongue. And that's what they chalked it up to.
I've got my back turned to the bottles, but what's on the end?
The end is the new coffee liqueur.
Yeah.
Then premium Mexican vanilla, and then it's back sweetened. So it's only 22% alcohol. Drink it neat. Drink it in your coffee. Iced. I like it. Throw it in a blender with ice cream and make an adult milkshake. And when you add a milk component, it becomes liquid tiramisu, and it's bloody delicious.
Terrence Fitzgerald, he represents Lumet distilled non-alcoholic spirits. He's also, of course, pouring Sheringham as well. What's the last bottle there?
The last one is Aquavit, which is our Scandinavian. When you make a gin, you have to have juniper, kind of by law. Aquavit, you have caraway.
Well, there's one other over there that you haven't talked about.
Oh, what? The Kazuki?
Yeah.
So Kazuki, actually, I helped create that one with Jason. He really wanted to do something that was Asian-inspired. I go to Japan a few times a year, and I have since the 90s. So I brought back the idea of cherry blossom petals, that if you can imagine, these gentlemen put on white gloves, climb ladders, and hand cut them off the trees. I mean, the Japanese just do everything the best. And then we also bring in yuzu peel from outside of Osaka. Yuzu is this ugly citrus, very, very bright and delicious on the palate. And then we partnered with West Home Tea Farm. It's one of only two tea farms in North America.
Okay.
They're in the Cowichan Valley, owned by Victor, a good friend of mine. And so the green tea leaves add a little early dry finish, like the juniper does. And then the essential oils of the green tea flowers add a little creamy or velvety sensation on the finish. So it's a monster flavor-wise, perfectly balanced. Keep a bottle in your fridge, sip it neat. Done.
All right, let's talk about neat for a second. This is Terrence Fitzgerald, who is the CEO and partner of Lumet Distilled Non-Alcoholic Spirits. The question is, and you'll be answering this as long as you make it.
Yes.
Why do you bother?
Yeah, why? Yeah.
Why do you bother?
Yeah.
If there's no alcohol?
Yeah. There's a great new term that millennials are using, and it's called a bridge drink. So they'll have alcoholic, non-alcoholic, alcoholic. And so that way they can make the night go longer.
Okay.
They don't get trashed early on.
Well, they're thinking this out.
And the laws are getting more and more strict as time goes on.
But you did send along a note that said it's not meant to be drunk neat.
No, it's concentrated in
the bottle.
And,
of course,
the
first thing I did was try it.
Yeah, you and a lot of other people. Yeah, no, it's concentrated in the bottle, and it needs a tonic, a ginger ale, or a cocktail to really bring the flavors alive. The botanicals in the Lumet, outstanding. Outstanding.
Here's the very most important part of all.
Yeah.
Price points in all your bottles over there.
So Lumet non-alcoholic is somewhere around 35 to 36, depending on retailer. Sheringham products are somewhere around 42 to 46, depending on retailer. The coffee liqueur is a few bucks cheaper because it doesn't have as much alcohol in it. A couple dollars more than your multi-conglomerate. But again, do you want to keep jobs in BC, right? Like our wheat comes from BC. It's we're keeping money in the province.
How do people find you?
So it's sheringhamdistillery.com and enjoylumet.com. Lumet is L-U-M-E-T-T-E. And then we're both on Instagram, and we're both on Facebook.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, all the best. It's a pleasure.
Terence Fitzgerald. He represents a Lumet distilled non-alcoholic spirits. He's also, of course, pouring, sharing them as well.
This is Tasting Room Radio with your host, Terry David Mulligan.
It will get noisy in here. I've found Dave Paul from Love Shack Libations, just north of Qualicum Beach. Dave, tell me about the first year that you were actually making beer. What were you thinking, and how did it go?
It was fantastic, really. Hit the ground running.
Did you know what you were doing?
Not at all.
Okay. I mean, business-wise?
Not at all.
Beer-wise?
No. Thought I did. Very steep learning curve. Had to toss quite a few batches, tossed five batches in a matter of 2 weeks at one point that I couldn't serve, and that was a good learning experience.
And when did it go right? Since then.
About 3 months in, when I hit that first summer, was still a steep learning curve, but I was starting to get a few things figured out. And I'm still getting things figured out.
And then years two and three?
Better than ever. Yeah. Really starting to think I'm hitting my stride and keeping it as small as I can.
Do you still feel in control?
At times. Last August? No. Right now? Yes.
Why August?
Summers are crazy. Last August, I sold more beer in 3 weeks than I made in 3 weeks, which is great, but not sustainable.
Every time I come in, I asked you, what are the off hours?
Yeah.
I try to hit the off hours, but there's still long tables filled with people who are getting to know one another. The conversation is always loud. It's not the beer, it's the people just meeting each other.
Oh yeah, it's the sense of community in there, and that's why I want to keep it like it is now. It's been 3 years, and I don't want to change it. I still get to make the beer I want, and I still have this place where people can come. There's no cell phone reception, and you are forced to talk to someone because you're sitting really close to them, and the common denominator is beer.
Frankly, there's very little signage.
Very little signage. And people keep saying, you should get a bigger sign. And I look around, and the place is full. I don't think I need a bigger sign.
Well, okay, I'm talking about Love Shack Libations, and it's just north of Qualicum Beach. How many beers are you making now?
Generally always have 8, 4 mainstays, 4 features. I just did the numbers for my 3-year anniversary, and in the last 3 years, I have done 82 different beers. I'm at batch 428, and I have hand-bottled 89,000 bottles of beer.
Do you have a problem focusing?
No. No, I don't. Well, not really. I have a problem focusing on what I want to make next because there's a list in my head that keeps growing all the time. Because every batch I make, as soon as I make it, I think, well, that's great. Next time, I'm going to make this better. And then there's all the new ones that I want to make new ones.
What are the mainstays?
Killer Kolsch. So nice light lager pilsner type. Crafty Cream Ale is my number one seller. I call it the least beery beer I make. It is my gateway beer, easy drinking. DPA, Dave Paul Ale, is my version of an IPA, a little darker. And then the Precious Porter, which is a nice dark, rich porter, but not heavy.
Where's the Juicy Juice come? Is it still there?
In that cask right there.
Oh, yeah, okay.
With peaches. Juicy Juice with peaches this year. I still make it. I'm now to the point we call it the Juice Club. So the first rule of Juice Club is you don't talk about Juice Club. So I can't put the Juicy Juice on my tasting sheet, or it's gone in a week.
Define Juicy Juice for a real serious drinker.
Northeast style hazy IPA, soft, juicy, very, very fruit forward, 6.4% IPA.
It's a summer drink, but do you make it during the winter?
Yeah, I make it as often as I can.
Yeah. Because you can sell it?
Because I can sell it, and my wife and I really enjoy it.
Wow, Juicy Juice. What are you pouring today?
So the cask is Juicy Juice with peaches. I then brought, I managed to find 6 bottles of a 2 or 3 year old vanilla bourbon stout that I had in my crawl space at home. Okay. I have my porter, but it's a coffee porter, so my regular porter but with cold brew. And then a new one called Jazz Hands, which is a very light, easy drinking pale ale.
Are you noticing more would-be Love Shack Libation businesses opening up?
Yeah, I think you are starting to see a few smaller ones. Like Cliffside just opened in Nanaimo, and they're quite small, and they're going to try and keep it small. There's a New Tradition opened in Comox, and they're fairly small. Dog Mountain in Port Alberni. And I think you either have to have a niche or be really small and just sell all your product
branding.
Out of there.
Branding.
Yeah. Because no one can afford to go big.
Or have an owner like you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Someone who's not afraid to do a bit of hard work.
That's right. All right. I had a serious question here. Hold on a second. How does this audience find your beer? If they don't come driving up from Parksville?
They can't. Shady Rest Liquor Store in Qualicum is the only retail place.
That's like 5 feet from your back door.
But they sell it all the time, right? Okay. So they're open 7 days a week. So at least if you are in Qualicum, you can get some. Other than that, it's 8 or 9 restaurants in the area. The farthest north I go is the Kingfisher in Royston, just south of Courtney. And the farthest south I go is Realm in Parksville, actually. Or Mount Arrowsmith carries my beer. I have a good friend who owns a restaurant in Pemberton. So the town square in Pemberton. If you happen to be in Pemberton, you can get my beer there.
Very nice.
Yeah.
You guys have a website, Facebook?
Yeah, Twitter? loveshacklibations.com, Facebook, Instagram.
Summer hours when?
Same as winter hours. Wednesdays 5 to 9, Saturdays 1 to 5.
What if it's Monday, Tuesday?
Or phone me by appointment. Okay. So send me a message, get a hold of me. I've had private parties through there, people coming through town who aren't going to be around on my opening
hours.
Any
weddings in the room?
Not in the room. I've had 2 proposals, and I've made a wedding beer for 3 different couples, but no actual weddings in there yet.
And is your Irish Love Shack truck going to be outside?
Yes, the food truck's there on Wednesday nights, the Knockin' Anna Grill. They're there on Wednesday nights. So they do burgers, fries, poutine, but with a bit of an Irish twist on some of them.
Okay.
Yeah, fantastic food.
Last thing, is that Juicy Juice available for tasting?
Yeah, we can go tap it right now.
Thank you. Dave Paul from Love Shack Libations, just north of Qualicum Beach. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Road 13 on the Golden Mile. At Road 13, they are temporarily suspending tastings in the lounge and the castle and winery tours. And to Club 13 members and guests, Road 13 is accommodating your requests for purchase with minimal interruption. You can pick up your wines at the winery and load it into your vehicle by the staff, or they can arrange complimentary shipping by courier directly to your home or location of your preference. The goal at Road 13 is to make it as seamless as possible. You can find all the information you need and updates at road13vineyards.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch. They are offering free shipping for locals. They are doing a drive-through winery tent in the parking lot, respectful of social distancing. You can find The Hatch Wines at 3225 Boucherie Road, West Kelowna. They're open every day from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Online, you can find them at Hatch Wines. Or you can check out all the details at thehatchwines.com.
This event, by the way, has changed its name. For ages, they were calling it Uncorked. It's not. It's Swirl, which is way sexier in a marketing standpoint. We're at Town of Mara. My name is Terry David Mulligan. We're in Parksville, and it's Tasting Room Radio. The last time that we gathered with the Cowichan winemakers, the representative for Blue Grouse was this guy, Michael Abbott, who on his card says vineyard manager. And in fact, if you ask him, he describes himself as a raisin rancher.
Oh, shoot. The raisin rancher. Right. Yeah.
That's because you drive the tractor?
Yeah, that was your last reference, was the tractor driver.
So I'm looking at what you're pouring today. You got the Quill Q White, the Quill Q Red, the Quill Off Dry White, and the Quill Gamay Noir. When you pour those, or when you just see those bottles, do you think about the season that they had and what kind of harvest they had?
I think that goes hand in hand with wine and winemaking, as of course every vintage is related to the season in which it grew. So of course, when I look at our Gamay, our Quill Gamay Noir, that was a product that we decided to make because it was a fantastic season. So normally, our Quill Rosé is the destination for the Gamay Noir. But that year in particular, we decided it was a great vintage. We were going to be able to make a Quill still wine with it, and that's what we did.
Will it happen every year, or does it have to be exceptional?
It has to be exceptional for us to be making the Gamay the way that we did it in 2018.
How much do you love Gamay?
Gamay's been good to me. I like Gamay. It's a bit of a workhorse in the vineyard. So
I was thinking more of it as a drink.
Oh, as a drink. Come
I
on.
Love Gamay.
You like Gamay? Beaujolais style, or what's
no,
your jam?
Just give me the jam.
You like it? Okay. Yeah. I'm a little biased. I always look at it from a viticulture perspective. I like it in the vineyard. I like what it does. It sets fruit, and you get to choose its final crop load at the end, so it's kind of fun.
What's in the Q White and Q Red?
The Q White is a Vancouver Island white wine blend, so I call it Vancouver Island in a glass. You've got Schonberger, Gewürztraminer, Pinot Gris, and then just a dash of Siegerehrb. And I think the dash of Sigarebe is really important because it just adds a beautiful floral component.
Is that the nose as well?
Yeah, exactly. It's not much. It doesn't carry over into the palate very much, but on the nose it stands out and it just carries that wine along. It's beautiful.
And the Q Red?
The Q Red is our big red wine that we make. It is Merlot, Cab Franc, and Maréchal Foch. It's our response to people coming to our tasting room who don't want to drink Pinot Noir. That's our main focus is Pinot Noir. So when people want a bigger red, that's what we're able to offer them.
I don't understand not being able to, or not wanting to drink Pinot Noir.
Yeah, there's
I don't understand
different
that.
Strokes for different folks.
No,
man.
What are they thinking?
I don't know. You should come work in the tasting room.
Why not
with
us. Hit yourself in the head with a ball peen hammer? Okay, never mind. Dry white.
Yeah, so the off dry weight is...
The key word being off.
Off, exactly. It's very much on point, but it is an off dry wine. So it's a slightly sweeter version of a blended white that we make. And it does balance the acidity a little bit for Vancouver Island wines. And yeah.
What's coming for 2020?
2020, we're planting, man.
I saw all those.
Yeah, we've got 20 acres of land cleared and ready for planting this summer, this spring and summer. So that's my job in the spring here is planting the first half of that.
And remind us what you planted.
We're going forward with Pinot Noir, Chardonnay, Pinot Meunier, and a little dash of Gamay for you.
Gee, more Gamay.
Yeah, you got to have something to keep the rosé alive. You know, apparently it's popular.
Okay, bubble.
Bubbles. Yeah, we're pushing the bubble train forward at Blue Grouse. This vintage that's been released here is a it's non-vintage, 36 months on tirage, and it's a Müller-Thurgau-Ortega blend. So it's more of a German style of grape selection.
He's Michael Abbott, the vineyard manager and the raisin rancher at Blue Grouse of Cowichan Valley. Thank you.
Thank you.
Food, wine, and friends. It doesn't get any better. You're listening to Tasting Room Radio, a celebration of all three, with your host, Terry David Mulligan.
First of all, he is the manager of Enrico Winery, Lauren Inglis. What did you bring to pour from Enrico?
Today I brought one red, our Cabernet Libre, our Braveheart. We're super proud of this wine. We do really well with it every year. It's one of Blattner's hybrids. I brought our Tempest Ortega, which has been one of our flagship whites by far. Our Coronet, which is a Petit Milot. And you've tasted it. It's absolutely stunning. It's an oaked version of it, and we're super proud of it as well.
Did you bring Confessor?
I did bring Confessor, which is the oaked Ortega as well. And then I brought Revelation, which is one of our sparkling rosés.
Prosecco style.
Prosecco style, made in the Charmettes.
Okay. Yep. It's what the land will give you.
Is exactly what the land will give us. Yep.
Lauren Inglis, manager of Enrico Winery in the Cowichan Valley. Are there any surprises this summer? Anything that's coming this spring, this fall?
I think for us, probably the most exciting thing is our 83, which is one of Blattner's as well, is coming out. It's a big, bold red. It's a Cab Sav hybrid. We're super excited about it. And, of course, the Pinot Noir, like we always are, because we all love the Pinots on the island.
Yeah. What are people coming to taste on the island?
I think that people are excited about different wines that we're producing on the island. You know, Pinot Gris is a great grape, but they want to try something different when they come to the island. So I always say there's a little glass of excitement of everything that we pour.
Is the island supporting island wines?
The island is supporting island wines more now than they ever have in the past. Yeah, and I think that earlier the show that we had definitely reflected that. So, and tonight, judging from the amount of people standing at the door, I think that's happening as well.
You better get going. They've opened the door.
Thanks, Terry. Talk to you later.
Have a good pour. He's Lauren Inglis, and he is the manager and the guy they want to talk to at Enrico Winery in the Cowichan Valley. Because they've opened the door, I think I have time for one more interview. From Rocky Creek, Mark and Linda Hulford are here. Mark might show up at the last minute. What are you pouring?
We're pouring some great island-only wines, Pinot Gris, that new trendy orange wine, blends that are named after the owners, TLC On The Mark, both with Spanish varieties in there, plus a unique variety of eight grapes, Tempranillo in our red blend, and then we finally released our Sirius Red, a name play on the Sirius.
Okay, I'll go to Mark now.
Yes,
thanks,
go
Linda.
Ask the winemaker.
Thanks, Linda. I was just asking, why isn't Cab Franc happier here on the island?
Cab Franc itself needs a little more heat than we get here.
What's going to surprise people from Rocky?
Actually, I do think our Cab Foch, our Sirius Red, is going to surprise people. We've actually managed to pull off a big, bold, full-bodied red from island grapes, and that's pretty hard to do.
Will it cellar?
It will.
Well,
it
we
will.
Don't know yet.
I believe it will. It's got lots of tannins, good acidity, nice structure. So it's got all the right components for a cellaring.
Is it a hybrid blend? What's in there?
It's a pure hybrid. So it's Cab Fauche, which is a cross between Cab Franc and Maréchal Fauche. But it comes off very much like a Cab Franc.
How many cases?
A whole 100 cases. 100 cases. So it'll
what's the price point, Linda?
It's $40 a bottle.
$40 a bottle, okay. Pinot Gris, what's the price point?
$20 a bottle.
What's this beautiful pink thing?
So this is the latest hot trend is that orange wine.
Okay.
So it's the white wine made like a rosé, Pinot Gris. Showcases really Vancouver Island wines, that little bit of citrus, that pink grapefruit, our breakfast wine with poached eggs.
That's nice. A price point?
So this one's $20 a bottle.
One more thing. Are the Vancouver Island restaurants supporting Vancouver Island wines?
Yes, they're doing very well. It's really got a little bit of a buzz to the wine region, and Vancouver, Victoria, and Nanaimo have done well for us.
You agree or disagree? You can disagree if you want.
No, actually, we've had a lot of support from the local restaurants, especially down in Victoria. They're always looking for local wine.
The reason why I ask is because there was a time when they wanted nothing to do with Caligan.
This is true, and it's been a huge turnaround, and I think they're now realizing that you can get reliable, good quality wines here right on the island, and they're asking for it.
Yeah, 15 years ago, when we first started marketing, it was like the question mark, are you serious? Yeah. And now it's like, well, I'd love to
meet you. But everybody had to up their game.
I know, exactly.
The wines had to be better.
Pinot Noir. When we started 15 years ago, that was a challenge. Where do you send people? Now, Pinot Noir is a red from the island. In fact, we're sold out of it. We won't have it for another year or two.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Mark and Linda Halford from Rocky Creek, Caligan Valley. This is Swirl at Tynemera. I'm Terry David Mulligan, Tasting Room Radio. Jack Eubank is leaning against his signage and his brewery. It's a Cliffside Brewing in Nanaimo. He's the founder. How long have you been a brewery?
We have been in operation for just 4 months, actually 3.5 months.
Is this your first untapped?
It's our first untapped, yes. It's our second show that we've been to, but it's our first untapped.
How do you like the show?
Oh, this is great. This is so nice. It's a good size for us. We're you know, kind of new to the game, but we've met made so many new friends in the business, other brewers. And
what were you in another life?
In another life? I was in law enforcement for 40 years.
Okay, what did you know about brewing?
About brewing?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know much about brewing, but I learned a great deal about the after effects of brewing. I own the company with my two sons. My oldest son is a BC Ambulance paramedic, but he's also our head brewer. And my youngest son is a focus puller in the movie business, and he is our operations day-to-day manager guy.
And what did you want to make? What was that first brew?
The very first beer we made was the Ultimate Smash that we got here tonight. My son learned how to make that in his kitchen sink. And he showed it to a couple of friends, one of them just down here at Love Shack Libations, Dave.
Dave Paul.
Dave Paul is a great guy. Crazy Dave tasted Andrew's beers and said, "You're onto something there, buddy. You're onto something." So he's been tremendous support to us. Great guy.
Jack Eubank, Cliffside Brewing in Nanaimo. And how about the bars? Did they welcome you in? How tough was it to break into the market?
We don't distribute outside of our own establishment. So we're not experiencing anything like that yet. All of the other breweries in Nanaimo, though, fantastic. They've been so helpful, full of advice, full of parts when we need them.
And how have the 4 months gone for you?
The 4 months have gone really well. We opened a little bit later than we planned. We aimed for a midsummer opening. That didn't happen. So we got it open in the late fall, which is not a good time. But it's been great. And we're seeing the spring has come now, and we're really peaking. It's going great.
And where is Cliffside?
Cliffside's at 11 Cliff Street. So we're right next door to White Sails Brewing. So if folks are going to know where that is, it's a big building. It's a bit of a landmark in Nanaimo. We're right next door.
How does the audience find your beer? Do they have to come to you?
They got to come see us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Terry. So
congratulations.
Nice to meet you. My wife, Sandy.
Sandy, congratulations.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch. They are offering free shipping for locals. They are doing a drive-through winery tent in the parking lot, respectful of social distancing. You can find the Hatch Wines at 3225 Boucherie Road, West Kelowna. They're open every day from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Online, you can find them at Hatch Wines. Or you can check out all the details at thehatchwines.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. Here's a heads up on what's going on there now. The Wine Club, they're offering a 10% discount on all purchases from the online store, on all case orders from the online store, free shipping to Vancouver Island and the Lower Mainland, 50% discounted shipping to the rest of Canada. The restaurant is open noon to 7 p.m. Friday to Sunday for pickup. Check their website for menu and pickup details. If you want to pick up your online wine order from the tasting room, that's between 3 and 4:30 Monday to Thursday. Online order pickup from the restaurant, 12 noon to 7 p.m. Friday to Sunday. All the details at unsworthvineyards.com. Welcome to Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. Eric Edwards is the executive chef of the Cedars here at Tynemera. And he has always been the guy I go to start this discussion. But I did see you last night. Tell me what you were laying out there from your staff and the chefery for what we were pouring last night, and how will it differ from what happens tonight?
Well, last night we were doing more rustic with the beer and the cider. So I did an Asian pork saute with a spicy peanut sauce, which gives it lots of flavor. I thought it would pair well with the cider. We'll see how that goes. And then I did a naan bite with a lot of blue cheese in there and local cream cheese. And that was a real neat little taste, little nosh with a little bit of basil in there.
What was on the stick?
The stick was a blueberry-infused meat, ground beef, with a spicy tomato jam. And it was just...
It was fantastic.
And the nice thing about it is just smell-o-vision, right? And I go back to that because it's radio. But it's like you have to, when you do events like this as a chef, I always have to saute and warm something up so you get that smell and you get those flavors because people come to the booth.
But again, if you're doing a winemaker's dinner, for example, you can zero in on two or three or four or five wines that are being poured. You have now 30 or 40.
So tonight at this event, so we're doing the wine pairing tonight. So we're doing different items throughout. So one, I'm doing some flatbreads. I'm doing like a pulled duck, yep, which is going to be there, which is going to be beautiful. We're going to put a little prawn canopy, which will go well with some of the lighter wines. You know, we've got a beef Wellington, which is a real nice fuse, a nice smoky flavor with that. We'll see, you know, maybe the darker reds. So it's really fun, and we're playing around with it, right?
Okay, Chef, I'm going to tell you one of the things that I observed last night, because I can observe while you're working. About half the people I saw walk up to your position, they would have eaten your hand.
Yes, but that's not... But I still want to get...
They weren't thinking about pairing.
No, they weren't thinking about the pairing, but I'm thinking about it deep down. I'm thinking that hopefully they're going to get something that they're going to enjoy. And the comment I want to say is, hey, where are you from, and where can we get the food again? So a lot of those items that we did last night, the beer event, we'll do in our happy hour menu to get people to come back.
Chef Eric Edwards from the Cedars at Tynemera. Are you actually going to do an amuse-bouche?
I'm an amuse-bouche for tonight. For the
this is the winemaker's dinner. Tonight, what's the menu look like?
So we've got, as I said, the flatbread, local flatbread, and we're doing it with a pulled duck, and we're doing a vegetarian one with a local bocconcini. We're doing a prawn canopy. We're doing a beef Wellington, which is going to be fused with horseradish cream. We're doing another taco, a tuna taco seared with Hussein sauce.
Where's that?
That's going to be also here too. I've got four stations.
No. Where's the position? I'm going.
Oh yeah. Well, I'll go there too. I've got it. We've also got the local beach club. They're also doing some items, and we've got one of our food suppliers, GFS, and they're doing an item. They're doing a prawn ceviche, which is going to be a lot of fun, and a hearts of palm, a vegetarian ceviche.
But here's the cool thing. They're all surrounding your kitchen.
Yes, and it's so much fun. When you walk in the kitchen right now, it's a large kitchen. I'm blessed with a big, giant kitchen, and there's people everywhere doing something. So it's really neat to see right now. It's a fun time.
Did you have to personally check some of the wines?
I have over the time, especially when we went to the wine dinner. It's nice to actually, you know, find out what we're going to do and, you know, narrow it down.
Okay, so you're doing a winemaker's dinner with a laughing stock, which is just an amazing wine.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. We're looking forward to the event.
So you start with you're pairing to their wines.
Yes, we're pairing. So
you start with the mousse Pinot Gris.
Yep, sunchoke soup. Well, it's going to be a sunchoke and pear bisque, and then we're going to do a couple of dried pears on top too, and you know, nice garnish.
Chef Eric Edwards from the Cedars at Tynemera.
Okay, so what are you going to do with the 2018 Chardonnay?
Chardonnay, we're doing it with seafood terrine. So we're going to take lobster, and we're going to take that with some smoked halibut, and we're going to do that in a beautiful terrine.
First course is the seafood terrine for the 2018 Laughingstock Chardonnay. Second course, ancient grain ravioli with the Syrah. I happened to be at Laughingstock when the Syrah first came in, the very first year of the Syrah, and it was just mind-blowing how good it was.
Fantastic. We're looking forward to that taste. I mean, it did pair well when we did the initial tasting. We have to taste it many times to make sure that it's, you know, it did sample well.
Tell me about ancient grain ravioli.
We get that from local company in Qualicum, in the Cowichan Valley, and he makes that for us, which is a beautiful, and it's Qualicum grain he uses in the pasta.
Wild mushroom?
Yeah. We do porcini, chanterelles. Yeah.
It'd be very butter?
Nice. Oh, lots. Lots of cream.
Not lots. Brown butter, right?
Yeah, brown butter, and with the mascarpone mixed through. It's going to be delicious.
And then the main?
The main is going to be venison. So we're going to herb it, sear it up. It's going to be on a potato pavé. It's going to be just delicious. Melt in your mouth.
So Laughingstock are going to be pouring the 2016 portfolio.
Yep.
And then, so how do you chase this?
We're chasing it with a dessert, panna cotta, with mangoes. And we're going to blend that through. And we're looking forward to that pairing with a little bit of blackberry in there also.
And they're going to pair with that a 2018 Viognier. Think about it.
Yeah, it's going to be delicious. It worked. And the tasting, it worked pretty well. It was a really interesting pairing.
Chef Eric Edwards from the Cedars at Tynemera. I know you like doing this, don't you?
I enjoy it. I love the events. To me, that I'd like to do more of them. I'd like to do them once a month if I could. I think we learn from each, and we also get the local guests, and we get people from Victoria and Vancouver and other places come that experience, you know, our dining room.
And I know that because of the spa here, just because of the kind of people that are attracted to Tynemera, that you would have within your menu at all times a food that would go with a healthy lifestyle.
Healthy lifestyle. I mean, myself, I'm gluten-free myself, so I try to do something kind of natural or a healthy food.
You're surrounded by farmers. Do you have a great relationship with them?
I do. Actually, my twin is a farmer in the Comox Valley, so I've certainly grew around farms over my life, and I certainly use some of the local farms as much as we can. And the Fraser Valley, we use an awful lot of products from.
Okay. Chef, thank you so much for doing this. Have yourself a great evening.
Yeah, I will. You too.
By the way, is that a burn mark?
Maybe.
Literally, he is the host chef for this event. He is Eric Edwards, executive chef at the Cedars, Tynemera, Parksville.
Food, wine, and friends. You're listening to Tasting Room Radio, a celebration of all three, with your host, Terry David Mulligan.
Dave Woodward, the head brewer, Mount Arrowsmith Brewing Company in Parksville. How are things? How old are you as a company?
We've been in operation since 2016, so it's been over 3.5 years now so far.
Okay, so it was 3.5 years ago that you and I were over at Tynemera, and you said, I can't pour anything, but I'm just here to represent.
That is correct, yes, I remember the time. And then we still opened soon after and had beer ready for the events, and we've been open ever since, and, you know, had some recent success on things, so, yeah.
Tell us about that recent success.
We won back in 2017 Brewery of the Year for the BC Beer Awards, which sort of opened the consumers' eyes to us in BC. Did very well. And
what are you pouring today?
We're currently pouring our Weekend Rambler, which is a pineapple kettle sour, which would be a nice tart and tropical fruit flavors. And we're also doing our Bricks and Play-Doh, which is a Belgian double release with a chocolate and orange peel in it. There's a Terry's chocolate orange flavor, which is very nice.
Now, where is your core, and where do you work out from?
Well, we have our core brands. We have like our Arrowsmith Blonde, we have our Jagged Face India Pale Ale, we have our Salish Sea Pale Ale, we have our brands.
He's Dave Woodward, he's the head brewer at Mount Arrowsmith, and they just keep making great beer. Are we driving the need for the different flavors, or is it you guys just messing around?
The consumers are what drive the trends, is what they buy and what they like and stuff. So like last year it was brute IPAs in style, the sours are increasing popularity. Also it's up for us to try new things, experiment, see what the people like. So I try to do that, do some varietals and see what people want.
What are you going to surprise us with this summer?
We're going to come up with some new core beers. We're going to be doing a brew pub maybe in Qualicum coming up. So that'll be a new project for part of Aerosmith. So
a brew pub?
A brew pub, yes.
Your beers, you can find them anywhere in the West?
You can find them in most cool beer and wine stores, liquor stores on the island here. We're mostly based, partial Qualicum, obviously. Victoria has a lot of our stuff up island. So yeah, we're all around.
Is Vancouver a tough sell?
It can be very tough. It's a very competitive market, actually. Yeah. So, but we're mostly concentrating on the island these days.
But if you got the goods in the bottle...
It's true, but it's also the farther you send the beer, it's harder to sell it and less money make. So it's actually better to stay in our home court. So
I really like your success, and I applaud it.
Well, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Dave.
Okay, talk soon.
Congratulations.
Cheers.
Dave Woodward, head brewer, Mount Aerosmith Brewing Company, Parksville. We're at Untappd at Beach Club Resort in Parksville. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. Here's a heads up on what's going on there now. The Wine Club, they're offering a 10% discount on all purchases from the online store, on all case orders from the online store, free shipping to Vancouver Island and the Lower Mainland, 50% discounted shipping to the rest of Canada. The restaurant is open noon to 7 p.m. Friday to Sunday for pickup. Check their website for menu and pickup details. If you want to pick up your online wine order from the tasting room, that's between 3 and 4:30 Monday to Thursday. Online order pickup from the restaurant, 12 noon to 7 p.m. Friday to Sunday. All the details at unsworthvineyards.com.